Good morning, church. How are we doing today? All right, I believe it. Let's turn on over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Yeah, I mean, okay, so what are we preaching on here today? Left my notes up here. Make disciples. Amen. All right, I will learn. Jesus is with us. Okay, that's... Jared and Mike got an opportunity to kind of comment on Peaks, and, I really don't have a whole lot to add, because that's what I wanted to cover, okay? The fellowship and the teamwork. I mean, it was a record breaker, 181 guys. And, I mean, I think that that stomps the record that's previously set. I mean, I don't even think it's close. So and that's great, you know. I mean, we got guys from the East Coast, okay, lots of men from the assembly here in Billings, just all over, new people, staples and pillars in the local congregations. I mean, it was fantastic. The preaching was phenomenal. The fellowship was, so good. And, the teamwork was great. Not too many problems. Always seems to be something. But, it was really encouraging. And I guess the only thing I would add is, if you can start now to start working that date into your calendar next year, if you weren't able to make it, I really encourage you to be there. I really do. I mean, I don't even know how many Peaks I've been to. I mean, it's not too many. And so I don't know about some of you guys who have been there for a while, but that might have been up there with the best one I've ever been to. And I heard some of the other guys who I know have been there longer than I have, they said the same thing. And so, as we're kind of saying our goodbyes and talking to people, and Luke and Jay kind of wrap up the preaching Saturday morning, I just turned to a few people and I said, I don't know how you walk away from this and don't go home and be on fire for the Lord. Okay? So you got an individual responsibility, men, to make sure your spiritual house is in order. Okay? And then you got another responsibility to make sure that your immediate house is in order, okay? And then you seek the Lord's kingdom and His righteousness, amen? Yeah, I mean, what a great opportunity, as Jared said, to be around people who have your back, who have the same mind, who share in a like precious faith, and who you know have the Lord's kingdom at their interests. I cannot think of what else you would dump your energy and your mindset into. Okay, you do enough of the working things so you can cover the bills, and then the rest is for the Lord. And guess what? You can even do that with the Spirit of Christ. Okay, so yeah, just super, super encouraged by Peaks. This morning we're in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 16. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord God, we... are so humble to be your exalted people, that where Christ is seated, we too have been raised. And because of that, you have asked us that since our life is found in Christ Jesus, that we ought to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated in the heavenly places. Lord, thank you for what you have done for us. May we, as your body around the world, and as the congregation of believers in Billings have the opportunity to be exhorted through many extra words, that we would consider returning to you our lives as a living and holy sacrifice. Lord, I thank you for the faith of Christ. Lord, I thank you for releasing us from the burden and the yoke that was the law, and that through the example that Jesus Christ set and the teaching that continues to go forth through the apostles and through the New Testament, that the faith of Christ can be realized through the church, and that we can overcome, and that we can glorify you in this life. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, I think all preachers are different. I've noticed for myself that, there's always a handful of messages that are always in the back of your mind. And this is one that I've kind of had on the back of my mind for a number of months. And so it got thrusted to the forefront of my mind, because it was in the back of my mind, a couple weeks ago when 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 was the answer to the Bible question. Now, that was a couple weeks ago. I don't know how many of us remember that. Okay? But I think the question was asked July 4th, and then the answer was the following week. So it's been a couple weeks. All right? And it's appropriate. Okay? Act free. Freedom. Okay? And the question was, what should we as Christians not use our freedom as a covering for? And the answer? Evil. Have us turn on over to Galatians chapter 3, or chapter 5. So I was thinking about the Bible question, and it got me thinking about Galatians chapter 5, because it kind of says the same thing. Okay, in Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, for you were called to freedom. Right? Okay, so there's the freedom. Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Okay? Well, it's the same thing. Right? So Peter says, okay, you're free, all right? But don't use that freedom as a covering for evil. Okay? So you have freedom, don't use it to cover evil, okay? But be willing bondservants of God. So freedom, don't do evil, you're still slaves. Okay? And in Galatians 5, verse 13, he says, you're free, brethren, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. So that's the covering for evil. And through love, serve one another. Okay? Servants. It's the same exact thing. So I kind of had this on my mind and been wanting to do a message on this idea, and then I had it ready before Peaks, and then Jay actually made this exact comment that I was going to make. He says, you can take the faith of Christ, the system of faith, okay, that those leading up to the church, okay, were kept from, later to be revealed through the Lord's people, Galatians teaches us, okay, you can take the faith of Christ, and you can take it in two wrong directions. Okay? You can go the route of law, or you can go the path of lawlessness. Sometimes the scripture refers to it as licentiousness. Okay? So that's why the title is the way that it is, lawlessness. Because we can take something that has been reserved for the Lord's people, His church, which is an amazing thing, which is this system of faith, the faith of Christ that is now realized through the church, and we can ruin it two ways. Okay? We can go law, or we can go licentiousness, lawlessness. Romans chapter 3 says, by works of the law, no flesh will be justified, because through the law comes the knowledge of sin. All right? Okay, so law, not going to work. All right? Romans chapter 6 says, shall we sin? That would be lawlessness, licentiousness. Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? And the answer? May it never be. Okay? So, thinking about this, I think I've shared with us that my senior year, I played basketball. And in the summer, we kind of had like a traveling team because the Montana High School Sports Association doesn't allow the coaches to interact with the kids in summer. Okay, what do you know? You're supposed to enjoy your summer. Okay, they can teach you calculus through summer, but they can't make you play basketball. All right, you're supposed to go home and play video games. All right? I guess you can do whatever you want. Well, so but the coach always said, if you want to play on the team, you got to keep practicing all summer. So it was a very understood thing that the school was going to form a team, and we were going to travel the world. Okay, Montana. And we were going to keep playing basketball, but so we took the guys that were on the team the year before, and we said, hey, let's get some jerseys printed by Universal Athletic, and let's go to Columbus and play basketball, okay? But you couldn't bring the coach. He wasn't allowed to come. And that was interesting, because then you got the kids deciding who gets subbed out and who gets subbed in. Okay. Now I bring this up for a reason, because I told you guys that summer going into my senior year, we won every tournament we played in minus one. And we played in at least a dozen tournaments. We won tournaments all across Washington, or all across Wyoming, all across Idaho, all across Montana, in Utah, and the only tournament we lost was in Las Vegas, and that's because the guys that are playing in the NBA now were in Las Vegas, you know, I'm not going to tell you how many years ago that was. Okay. So we did not win that tournament. We played in Salt Lake and won the tournament there, and then we went on to beat the University of Utah's basketball team at the end. Okay, now looking back on that, they might have let us win, but I'm not sure. Okay, now what I thought was really interesting is then when school came in session and then the coach came on the scene, we started losing games to teams in Great Falls and in Bozeman and in Missoula that we had smashed through the summer. I mean, I'm telling you, we won these tournaments, and it wasn't even close. We were winning games by 20. I mean, it was not even close. We were feeling pretty good going into the season, okay? And then the structure comes. And I'm convinced to this day that the coach comes in, brings in his structure, brings in his rules, the law, okay? And we did not work together as well of a team as we did when we had freedom to let those strengths rise to the top and let those players realize their strengths and to get the ball to them and run plays that were working. And then we get into the basketball season, like, you will run this play. And Nolan, you will stand there. And this kid is better than you, so he gets to play first. Okay, during the summer, it wasn't a free-for-all. Okay, you guys see what I'm saying? It's like, when the structure and the law and the rules came, we were an inferior team. No flesh will be justified by works of the law. You take a congregation and you go down that route, you will not only produce an inferior product, but your lampstand will be removed. Okay? Now, what's the other side of this thing look like? Okay? Well, that's the lawlessness. All right? Well, I mean, you can think of, I suppose you can think of any example you want, all right? But you try to put any kind of organization together or in an assembly or even just a business and you don't give anybody any structure, any rules, okay? Okay. The scripture would reword it this way. Let us do evil that good may come. Okay? Lawlessness. Okay? Well, they're going to receive their just condemnation, Paul writes to the Romans. But the point is anarchy doesn't work. Every man for himself doesn't work. Lawlessness does not work. So I want to look at a couple of these concepts here, and I want to do it from the fifth chapter of Galatians, because this is where I think this is really interesting. Because, you know, so I'm showing us God does not want his system of faith to be turned back into an Old Testament system of law, and he also doesn't want it to be taken and interpreted however it wants so that we may do evil knowing that good may come. Okay, he is not interested in either of those options, and he covers both of them in the fifth chapters of in the fifth chapter of Galatians. So we'll start with the law. Verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. A reference to the law. Okay, we understand that early on in the church, some of the party of the Pharisees who had believed, who the scriptures will go on to call them false brethren, okay, were coming in and were trying to spy out freedom, and were telling the converted congregations of Christians that unless they were circumcised according to the custom of Moses, that they were not saved. An attempt to go back to the law. Okay? And so, you know, the answer there in Acts 15 is, why on earth would you place a burden on the Gentiles that neither we, the Jews, could bear up to this day? Why would you place upon them a yoke that neither we or our fathers could bear? That's the same point where he's making here in verse 1. Okay, Christ set us free. Do not be subject again to that yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will of be no benefit to you. You want to go through the standards of the law, and you want to go down that mindset, okay, the system of faith gets removed. Christ is no longer of any benefit to you. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he's under obligation to keep the whole law. Pretty good point there, right? It's like, hey, if you want to go down that route, you can join the thousands of people who have gone on before you who have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You want to try to find God's justification and righteousness based by a set of rules, boy, then you better keep all of them all the time. Verse 4, you've been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by rules, by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. I want to show us an example from scriptures in Colossians chapter 2, what this looks like. Pretty familiar with some of the beginning parts of Colossians chapter 2 here, that the true spiritual circumcision takes place in our baptisms. God raises us from the dead, removes our transgressions from us. And then in verse 16, he says, therefore, okay, no one is to act as your judge in regarding to food, to drink, and to respect a festival or new moon or Sabbath day. Now I got to plug this one in for free, okay? But if somehow the Old Testament Sabbath, the rest day, not the seventh day, right? The rest day, just happened to be on the seventh day, okay? If the Old Testament Sabbath somehow made its way through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and into the New Testament covenant and must be observed on Saturday, then why does Paul write to the Colossians saying no one's to be your judge in regard to things according to the Sabbath? It shouldn't. So he says no one's supposed to be your judge. Drink, festival, new moons, Sabbath day, things which were a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. We'll just stop there. Okay. The New Testament, the New Covenant, the system of faith is not rules. It's not the law. It's like, you've been freed from that, Colossians 2 says. Certificate of debt consisting of decrees against you, been nailed to the cross. Separated. Gone. Okay, so people aren't supposed to be coming in here telling you what you can eat, what you can't eat, what you want to celebrate, and what you don't want to celebrate. There's no place in the Lord's church. People trying to say it has to be on Saturday. No place in the Lord's church. And the reason why this is important, other than what we just read in Galatians, that if you fall victim to this, okay, Christ is going to be no benefit from you, and you're going to find yourself severed from him, where there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, Hebrews says. Kind of important. So a warning, I suppose. But where this becomes an appropriate message for us, where does the law always lead? Leads to death. And what does it do to congregations? Well, I mean, if we were to keep reading the whole chapter of Galatians 5, it would say envy, strife, jealousy, factions, division, bite, devour, destroy one another. That's the byproduct of the law mindset. Okay? Because all a system of rules can do is, you know, take your faith and put it on a chart and then, you know, give you a medal for how many attendances you have. I mean, that's all it can do. And the problem with that is Jesus would say, your insides are like dead men's bones. You see, the problem with the law is it produces rivalry. Rules, all they do is produce competition. That's it. Okay? And a lot of finger pointing, too. Did you see my chart? My chart's better than your chart. That's all rules do in the system of faith, Christianity. You know, this is a pretty good illustration. Monday was Ethan's birthday, and we sang to him last week. But I was kind of picking up in the garage the next day, and I found this. It looked like a sticker, but it was just a kind of like a pretty thick little. Like lamp, it was like a sticker, but it wasn't. I picked it up and it said light. In the exact font of Anheuser-Busch. Okay? And I was like, oh, how'd that get there? What? You know. Of course, you know, Ethan had his buddies over, moms and dads, you know, you guys were there. And but I don't remember that being a part of the birthday party. Okay. But where did this come from? So upon further inspection, I realized that it wasn't what I originally thought it was, and that it was a sticker off of Ethan's car. He's got the Lightning McQueen. And Lightning McQueen doesn't run Goodyear tires. He runs Lightyear tires. So I walked over to the little battery car, the little contraption, and sure enough, the front left tire is missing the light on his Lightyear tires. Okay. So you come over to my house. You walk into my garage, and you see that on the floor. And what's your first thought? The preacher's drinking beer. I speak for myself here for a second. I don't see any fruit in the preacher drinking beer. Okay? Yeah. Period. So that's not something that I allow in my house. So you come over. Maybe you suffer a little bit from this being a judge to others based on food, drink, new moons, Sabbaths. Okay, you come in, but you might jump to conclusions, wouldn't you? And you don't even know the full story. Okay, now there's a good illustration. Do you think that that only happens once a year on birthday parties? Conclusions are drawn that are incorrect? Maybe you don't know the full story? Yeah. Yeah. You know, what about how we raise our kids? Now, maybe you don't know the full story about why mom does what mom does and why dad does what dad does. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you just saw the sticker on the floor and you made a conclusion. You jumped to a conclusion. That's what the law does. Bang. 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 Envy. Jealousy. Anger. Disputes. Dissensions, factions, rivalry, biting, and devour. Okay? That's why there's no place. Okay? The law had its purpose, brethren, and that's why no flesh can be justified by law, because through the law comes the knowledge of sin. That's the law's job, is to show you your sin. And you know, and then doesn't the scripture also say that the law was our tutor to lead us to Christ? Now, how does the law, which highlights your sin, lead you to Christ? Okay? Well, you got to figure out that you're in need of saving to start crying out for a Savior. That's the law. Yeah. You got to realize that you're in the deep end of the pool and you can't swim and you need someone to come and grab you and you're going to die. That's the law. The lifeguard is Jesus Christ. Okay? No place. Lawlessness. Verse 5, chapter 5. Well, let's, no. We went down to Galatians chapter 5. Let's jump down here to verse 13. He says, you were called to freedom. Did you guys see verse 1? It was for freedom. Do not subject to the law. Verse 13, you were called to freedom, and don't turn your freedom into lawlessness. Do not turn it into an opportunity for the flesh. See, the reason why I decided to preach this message is I thought it was pretty interesting. I've always known that you can take the faith of Christ in two wrong directions. Okay? But you find them together in one teaching in chapter 5 of Galatians. So now we've got our freedom in verse 13. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. I say you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Go to Jude. 3 John's Jude, Revelation. Okay. Jude, verse 4. Remember, licentiousness is lawlessness. Jude, verse 4, for certain persons have crept in. Well, where do you think they crept into? The church. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of God, another name for system of faith, yes? Another name for system of faith, amen? Who turn the grace of God into lawlessness, into licentiousness, and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. I don't have time to go into what Jude's specifically talking about, but John covers it in his epistles. Okay? Lawlessness. Okay? Taking the grace that's being extended to you and saying, let us continue in sin, knowing that grace may increase. You know, it looks a little bit, you know, sometimes it sounds like this. Well, Jesus ate with sinners. Well, when do you hear Christians say that? Okay. Well, when they're out there partying with sinners. Okay. Well, what's the difference? Jesus called them to repentance. You know, I mean, Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians, you know, if I told you to avoid everybody in the world, you would have to leave Earth. Yeah. If I told you not to associate with, you know, immoral people, you would have to go out of this world, is what he says. Okay. So, you know, maybe Mars is on the table for the church. You know, I don't know. Okay. He says, oh, no. When I told you not to associate with so-called immoral covetous person, I was talking about the brethren. Yeah. Okay, that's a little side note from what I'm talking about here. Okay? But that's kind of what lawlessness sounds like. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Jesus drank. Okay. Sure. Yeah. But you're drunk. It's like, there's a difference. Okay? Oh, well, you know, Jesus, you know, ate with sinners. Yeah. Okay. There's sinners in my house all the time. Okay? And we call them to repentance. John comes, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus picks up his message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he tells the apostles to go out, and their message is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And guess what message the church has? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, I don't want to spend too much time on lawlessness. You know, I'll just kind of make this point here. You know, who benefits from the statement, I'm just a black-hearted sinner? Who benefits from that statement? Satan. You know, sometimes in order to help people, you have to understand what they believe. Now Jay's going to go a step further, and he's going to make sure that he knows what they believe better than how they know what they believe. Okay? Now, that has its benefits. Okay? And there are some arenas where I will do that, and there are other arenas where my job is to present the scriptures, and those who are of Jesus' voice will obey it. Okay? So, as we engage the world and we extend the love of Christ to them, and when we get that opportunity, it's like, okay, we showed them love. We cleaned their gutters. We washed their car. We made them food. And now they're here. And now they're in our home. What are we going to talk about? Krispy Kreme? Like, how about the message of salvation from your sins? That's a pretty good topic. Let's do that. Okay. And so when you engage in that kind of activity, you kind of learn pretty quick what makes people different in their theological beliefs. But you know what almost unanimously combines all of their teaching in agreement? You're a sinner and you can't overcome. I mean, you just take every stream of denomination in the world and there is almost one line that connects them all, and it's that statement. Now, who benefits from that? Satan. Okay, you can't overcome your sins, so you're just gonna be a rotten person the rest of your life. I wish I had time to read all this. But Paul says we're slanderously accused in Romans 3 of teaching that we are to do evil so that good may come. That's the mindset. It's like, well, if we can't do good, then why would we try? Well, what does that do to a congregation, brethren? Not only when everyone's doing their own thing, because there's no rules, even though our Lord did give us commandments, yes? Love your neighbor, love the Lord your God, and love your neighbor as yourself. Fulfill the whole royal law and servitude, right? Like, it's not without rules. It's that you don't go back to the law, okay? Remember, even in this basketball example, like, there was some structure. Like, we managed to get the subs in and out without punching each other, okay? So there is some structure. So what does licentiousness do to a congregation when everybody's doing their own thing and they're out there just doing evil, hoping that good can come and that grace of God is going to cover them? Lord's going to yank that lampstand out from underneath the church. So I guess today is a warning. Okay, we have such a tremendous... We have such tremendous promises from the Lord that we have this faith. I mean, the scripture flat out tells us in Galatians that there was a system of faith that's literally been reserved for the church. Like, it wasn't even accessible by Abraham. Not even accessible. Because Christ hadn't come. Okay? And what we don't want to do as his people is take that and squander it in the wrong direction. Okay? Now, the majority of the world goes the path of lawlessness. Okay? And you can see both at times. Okay, in the Lord's church, but I guess just a warning. Okay, you know, kind of catch yourself with a critical eye of the brethren, and maybe you're not picking up all the pieces of the puzzle. Maybe you're jumping to conclusions. Maybe you're gossiping and slandering. Okay, you know, got to be careful. And then, you know, maybe we're turning around the other direction and maybe we've got some temptations that we're not being honest with ourselves about. Okay? It's like, you know, we all, to some varying degree, and certainly don't have to, but we do bring bad habits into Christianity, and so then we have the spirit in this process and this ability to begin overcoming. But God doesn't want lawlessness, so we have to be very intentional about that process. Repentant, the scripture says. Willing to admit our fault. Confessing our sins to one another, scripture says. Okay? You know, find somebody who's going to help you with that before you confess it to them. Okay? But find someone. Okay? And don't drag around. I mean, this is something I've been saying lately, but don't lug around the same sins for 20, 30, 40 years. Okay? Be intentional about overcoming these. I want us to go back to Galatians, but to the sixth chapter. And, you know, I was thinking about this message, and this thought came to my mind. We have a definition for the new creation. I mean, we literally have like a dictionary.com, but from the scriptures, definition of the new creation. You know, because like you're a new Christian, you go to Peaks, these guys are talking about the new creation, how important it is to understand, and you're like, well, what's that? Like, we actually have like a definition from the Bible of what the new creation is. And the reason why the new creation is the third and final last point in this message is because we just spent half an hour talking about the two directions we shouldn't go. What direction does God want us to go? Okay. Ting, ting, ting. You're like, law, ting. Lawlessness, ting. Law, ting. Lawlessness. Where's here? And when that grandfather clock comes to a rest, where does God want us? Right in the middle. Where we're not running around doing our own thing. Let us do evil that good may come. But, you know, we haven't imposed a yoke of slavery on the brethren that nobody's going to be able to overcome. Right? Where's the middle? The new creation. That's the middle. And we have a definition for it. Galatians chapter 6. Again, we understand the context of Galatians. Congregations in the Galatian region were suffering from this law mindset in the church. That's why it's a warning. And the specific issue that comes up that we saw in chapter 5 was circumcision. Okay? So in chapter 6 and verse 15, wrapping up the letter, he says, neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. For those who walk by this rule, there's a rule. Okay? Who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. That is so cool. God just told us what he's interested in. God just told us what matters. Right? It's like, you know, Paul's trying to figure out where to go with the gospel because he can't go to Ephesus because he wanted to go to Ephesus or Bithynia or all of Asia. And then he gets this vision from the Macedonian man, but that's it. God doesn't come back afterwards and go, yes, so that was a vision. And in case you didn't understand, that meant go to Macedonia. Like, they talked about it. They decided that they were supposed to go. God doesn't always say something and then tell you exactly what it means. And thank the Lord for that. But he does with the new creation. He says, you want to try to be justified through circumcision or uncircumcision? You want to follow the law? That doesn't matter. What does matter is the new creation. I just think that that's so cool. He just told us what's important. He just told us what matters. Okay? Circumcision, uncircumcision, new creation. Chapter 5. Here's where we get our definition. Verse 6. In Christ Jesus, the faith of Christ Jesus, Christianity, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. Galatians 6 said, no circumcision, no uncircumcision, new creation. And chapter 5 said, no circumcision, no uncircumcision, faith working through love. There's your definition. The new creation is faith working through love. Now, I'm out of time. Okay? But you look at James, and James makes it clear. We do have to turn to James 2. Okay, in closing here. James makes it clear. I will show you my faith by my works. If you try to have works, but you have no faith, that's the law. That's the person who looks good on the outside. They're at assembly, they read their Bible, but there's no fruit in their life. Okay? Everything in their life is disorder. Disorder. So what I want us to see is faith working through love is the definition of the new creation. You might say, I thought the new creation was through the Spirit's transforming ability, our potential to be like Christ, and you are right. But that's faith. Do you see that? Like these, faith working through love is no different than overcoming. It is no different. Because if you've got the anger and the dissensions and the malice and the envy, how can you love perfectly as our God loves? That's not faith. Okay? So in James chapter 2, I just want us to see this in verse 22. He says, you see, let's start at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. As of a result of works, faith was perfected. You see that? Like the byproduct, the works, the fruit is what brought about the perfection of the faith. I hope that makes sense. These are connected. Okay. What is the definition of the new creation faith working through love? Faith, love, faith, love. How do you do it? Service. Service. Galatians chapter 5. It's what Peter said. It's what Paul says. Verse 13, you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. The whole law fulfilled in one word, in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's where God wants us. If you're here today and you're serious about the faith of Christ and you're serious about glorifying the Lord and you and through your humble spirit and your contrite nature and in your prayer to God, you want to make sure that you're right where God wants you, you serve. It's the royal law. He's going to say it in Galatians 6. You want to make sure you're right where the Lord needs you, and you're not overly critical and putting upon your children too many a burden that no one's ever been able to fulfill, or you want to make sure that you're not over here just doing evil, hoping you make it in the last. You want to make sure you're right where you need to be. You serve. Faith working through love. We have freedom. Don't turn it into an opportunity for the flesh as a covering for evil, but through love, serve one another. Let's stand.